Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Thank you. So, if you did not receive an outline, please raise your hand. Someone will be sure to give that to you so that you can feel free to follow along there. We're coming toward the end of the year of our theme here, the take root downward and bear fruit upward. Isaiah 37:31, and this is the last of our series of messages on sowing and reaping. So we come to this thankful telling. We looked at grace giving and grateful living, and now thankful telling. And Psalm 107:2 here is our key verse here. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin here. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings upon us. Lord, we have much to be thankful for. We need to stop and give you thanks and praise, Lord. I pray this time that our minds would be centered and focused upon you. Open our hearts. Open our ears. May we receive the message that you would have for us today. And Lord, I pray that we would go forth challenged to give you praise, to give you thanks, and to tell the story that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that you would move in our midst, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As you think about this, I want you, first of all, to think about why should we be thankful? Why should we be thankful? Sometimes we hear things, people say words like this, why should I be thankful? What's happening in my life? Why should I be thankful? And Psalm 107:1 that we just read there, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. So first of all, we're commanded to give thanks to the Lord. This is something that we ought to do, but something we should want to do. We're commanded to give thanks because of His goodness and His love. Remember this, that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. We may not understand a situation or circumstances, but be reminded of this, that God is good. And not only that, that forever His love endures. God loves us, and His love endures forever. And so these things ought to be reminded of these things. And then, not only why should we be thankful, but I want you to consider also what should we be thankful for. What should we be thankful for? These three psalms come together. We've been studying the psalms on Wednesday night. These three psalms come together. 105, Psalm 105, we ought to be thankful for God's deliverance. Here he's speaking about how God delivered them from Egypt. We ought to be thankful for God's deliverance and salvation in our own lives. And then Psalm 106, God's provision and His care in the wilderness. We ought to be thankful how God provides for us, how God takes care of us. And so we see that in Psalm 106. And then Psalm 107, we ought to be thankful for God's redemption. Redeeming is the idea to buy back. And this is the story of how Israel was taken to captivity to Babylon. And they were sold to Babylon, as it were. And God brought them back to Israel to be bought back, to be redeemed. This word, we use the idea that you've seen pawn shops where somebody maybe has to, financially they're in a situation they have to sell something. And they maybe sell a watch or they sell something. And then maybe later their situation changes and they go and try to buy back that which was sold. They try to redeem it. All right? So the Israelites were, as a nation, they were sold to Babylon. And then God redeemed them. He brought them back. to the Lamb. And so here are things we think about our life, how God delivers us, He provides for us and cares for us, and He redeems us. These are certainly, every day there are things that we ought to be thankful for, but here's where we can start with what to be thankful for. As we give thanks to God. And then the key idea here is, what is their story? It says here, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Who are the redeemed? Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, He says here, from their enemies. And the word redeemed is often used in Isaiah to describe His great deliverance. He redeems us. He used this word over and over in Isaiah. Those He gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. You know, Israel had been scattered among the nations. And they were redeemed. They were brought back. And we've seen this even in our own lifetime. Well, maybe not in our lifetime, but 1948. That was before some of us were born. But 1948, out of God brought back this nation of Israel. And it was, you know, became a country once again in 1948. So here is their story of redemption. We ought to think about, what is your story of redemption? What is the story that you have? Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. You know, think about this, that He has delivered us and He has helped us. So we need to tell our story. My calendar, I try to every day on the calendar, you know, either at the end of the day or as I look past yesterday, I try to write down the things that I was thankful for this day, things to praise God for. And you know, try to look at these things and remember them and write them down in your calendar as a reminder. As we look at this Psalm 107, we see five situations that where they were to give thanks for, that they were to give praise for. Five situations that describe something that they lost that was valuable. And so they were redeemed from these things that they lost. We see the first situation here is when you lose your way. All right? You lose your way. And so their need is this. We see in Psalm 107, verses 4 to 5. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. They were lost. And often the Bible, this picture of being lost, describes us as sinners that were lost. Without Christ, that we're lost in our sin, hungry and thirsty. And so this is their need, and it reminds us of our need. And then their redemption. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. And so here we see how God redeems them, how God delivers them. And it was this past Friday night, we had the opportunity of watching the movie, The Pilgrim's Progress. And several of you were here Friday night to see that. You know, the story of Pilgrim's Progress is a good reminder to us. John Bunyan wrote this while he was in prison. 12 years in prison for preaching without a license. And, you know, he saw a dream. From this dream, he wrote the story, Pilgrim's Progress, which became the number two bestseller. You know, throughout history, number one has been the Bible. For the number have been sold, number of printing, you know, and also the number of translations. But then number two, as far as number printed and number of translations, is this book called Pilgrim's Progress. And in this story, you know, just like this verse tells us, it talks about this Christian pilgrim and other pilgrims who were delivered from the city of destruction, and their journey to the celestial city, to the king and to the celestial city. And so, as we watch that film, we're reminded this is a picture of our life. We have to choose to leave the city of destruction and to take that journey toward the celestial city. And as we see that, there's a straight way to a city. As it said here, he led them by a straight way to a city. And so God wants to lead us in a straight way to the city. Now, you know, we saw in this movie also the difficulties that faced along the way. And so our application here, first of all, that there ought to be thankful telling of the lost. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. You know, we were lost in our sins, apart from God. We were in the city of destruction. And when God brought us out of that, He redeemed us. We ought to give thanks. And we ought to tell others of that. I'm reminded how God delivered you when you were lost. I remember in Luke chapter 15, call this the lost and found section of the Bible. Talks about three parables Jesus mentions here. Lost sheep, how the shepherd went out to find the lost sheep. And then the lost coin, that she searched to find that lost coin. And then the lost son, how the father waited for him. And, you know, God has delivered us from our sin. And we who are lost find light and God's love. So here, first of all, we ought to give thanks for that. You know, I think about Apostle Paul and his testimony. At least three times in the book of Acts, chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26, Paul tells about how he was lost until he saw the light, and how that at midday on his way to at noon there, on his way to Damascus, the light shone, and the voice from heaven speaking, "Paul, Paul, why, or Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And so he tells again and again his story of redemption, how that he saw the light, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to be willing to tell our story. And then second, when we see here, when you lose your freedom, you lose your freedom. Here we see their need here. It says that some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So He subject them to a bitter labor, and they stumbled, and there was no one to help. Speaking of their captivity to Babylon here, their need, they had lost their freedom. They were bound in chains and imprisoned. And this is also a picture of our, you know, having been imprisoned in darkness, and how God sets us free, their redemption. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. For those of you who remember in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was delivered from Vanity Fair. But being delivered from that Vanity Fair, he found himself in prison until he was set free. And, you know, the freedom that He gives us when He delivers us from prison and from our sin. Free. And so we ought to be thankful and telling of our freedom. Let them give thanks, again he says, to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze. He cuts through the bars of iron. How God sets us free. Tell how God delivered you when you were imprisoned by sin. Think about that. How we're slaves to sin. Because of sin, many are slaves to addictions, whether it be drugs or other things that they are enslaved to. And tell about how God has set you free from those things. There needs to be a thankful telling, how that we were lost and now we have found life, how that we were in prison and now that we are free. And then the third situation we see here is when you lose your health. Their need, he speaks of here in verses 17 to 18. Soon, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. To lose your health. Sometimes we take our health for granted, but to lose your health and to be faced with that, and even to the point of you're at the gates of death. Recently celebrated 5 years of Sharon being cancer-free. And, to come to that point that you don't know, your health is taken from you, and then as God gives you your health back. So the redemption here. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. So here we see how God heals, how God rescues, even to the at the point of death, God can deliver us. In the story of Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was delivered from the swamp of despondency. And that was a picture of fears, all kinds of fears. As he began his journey, he fell into that swamp of despondency, of the fears. And he couldn't get out of it. And finally, he cried out for help. And help appeared and helped him out of that swamp of despondency. We lose our health or whatever the situation may be. At the point of despair, we cry out for help. And so we ought to have a thankful telling of the healed. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for mankind. Again, we see this expression. But then, let them sacrifice, thank offerings, and tell of His works with songs of joy. Tell of His works with songs of joy. It's interesting that several of our friends have gone through, having cancer. They go through the radiation or chemotherapy, or in some cases both. And after they finish those treatments, there is outside there. Recently, saw a picture. We've been praying for Lulu Zhang, and they finish their treatments and. God has removed that sickness from them. There's a bell that they ring. Let them give joy. Let them express their thanks. So tell how God delivered you when you were sick. Last week we talked about the 10 lepers who were healed, but only one returned to give thanks. Only one returned to give thanks. When God heals us, we need to ring that bell. We need to express our joy and thanks to the Lord. So when you lose your lost, you lose your way, you lose your freedom, or you lose your health, and God redeems us, we ought to express our thanks and our joy. And then the fourth thing here we see here is when you lose your hope. Their need is expressed here. Some went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters, and they saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest, a storm, that lifted high the waves, and they mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at the wit's end. You know, being on solid ground is one thing, but we were out in a boat in the middle of a storm, and the boat is being tossed up and down in every way. You lose hope. You know, what's going to happen? And they lost their hope. But then we see their redemption. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, and He rescued them from the grave. Now this, we see here that He, how He rescued them in Psalm 107. These verses here, that after they struggled here, that God delivered them. I think this is verse 28 to verse 30. Let me read these for us here. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. He guided them to their desired haven. It became calm. Reminded here of in the story of Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, that he was delivered from that castle of despair. The castle of despair, the giant despair, told him he was worthless, told him that his life was had nothing more. And at the point of that, the giant of despair couldn't harm him, but tried to convince him that it was not worth going on. And there are so many people who, cry out, no hope, no hope. And they become the point of being hopeless. And so at that point, when you lose your hope, turn to the Lord as our hope. So many people who become hopeless take their lives. And Lord, help us to realize that there is always hope, that He is there to redeem us. And so when he cried out and believed in hope, God delivered him. And so, thankful telling of the hopeless. He says here, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. So whatever need you have, whether you've lost the way, or whether you've to lose your freedom or to lose your health or to lose your hope, that God is able to deliver. God is able to redeem whatever our situation is. We come now to the fifth one. And this is a different focus here. As you look at this one, I want you to pay attention to this. When you lose your home, the focus of attention here is not on the people in trouble, but now the focus is on the Lord. That He can turn the garden into a desert, and He can turn the desert into a garden. He can judge the land, or He can heal the land. He can chasten, or He can bless. So many times we're focused on our need, what our situation is, that we're lost, or have no hope, that we're in prison, or our health situation. So many times we focus on those needs. But now we need to turn our eyes on the Lord. So don't lose your home. You know, in this journey, as Christian reminded us, there are many difficulties on the way, but do not lose sight of a celestial city. Do not forget that this is where you're headed. So do not lose sight of your home. And so we look at His power. He turned the rivers into a desert, the flowing springs into a thirsty ground, and fruitful land into salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. So here we see how that He turned the rivers into a waste, a salt waste. I've not had opportunity to visit the Holy Land, but I've heard of many who've gone. You think about the destruction that God brought upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the Dead Sea. That area of the Dead Sea is where that happened. Where God took that area that was so like a garden. It was like a garden and made it into a waste land. And in fact, it's so salty there, the Dead Sea, that's kind of the lowest elevation, but also the salty waste of that Dead Sea. God turned that from rivers and garden into a desolate. But He can also turn, as it says here, the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There He brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. And notice these words here. God can not only turn the garden into a desert, but God can turn the desert into a garden. And these words, we talk about sowing and reaping. These words here, pay attention to these words. They sowed the fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. And He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased. And He did not let their herds diminish. And so, as He told the people as they started to return from their captivity to plant the vineyards, to sow the fields, and God gave them a fruitful harvest. God turned that desert back into a garden. And God has the power to do that. God can turn the desert into a garden. He wants us to sow. He wants us to plant. And that then God can give a fruitful harvest. And He can bless. And He can increase. And so not only do we need to see His power, let our focus not be on our needs, but let's look at His power. But also let us look at this, His mercy. His mercy. Here these verses tell us this. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, by calamity and sorrow. And He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. And so we see here His mercy in our calamity, His mercy in our point of sorrow. He humbled them by their oppression, by their calamity, by their sorrow. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was delivered from the valley of humiliation. You remember that, how he was prepared beforehand as he went to that valley, watchful, and his four daughters prepared him by teaching him how to use and put on the armor of God. And so he put on that armor, and right away, the next place he faced was that valley of humiliation. And that's what we see here. To be humbled by this oppression, calamity, and sorrow. And in that valley of humiliation, he was attacked by Apollyon. He was attacked by the devil. And really at the point of being defeated, until God gave him the victory as he struggled in that battle there. And then later, he was delivered from that raging river. And the devil reminded him that he would return, and even at the end, the raging river, he would be there. And throughout his life, but even at the end there, the raging river, and then he entered into the celestial city. And so, not to just focus on our needs, but to realize, to turn our eyes to the Lord and to see His power and His mercy, and then to be thankful for how He delivers us and redeems us. So we're to be thankful, telling of the homeless, telling of our situation here. But He lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, for all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. So he concludes here with an encouragement here. Let the wise, those who, as we go through this journey, let the wise take heed to these things that happen. Tell of God's wonderful, praise Him and thank Him for how He delivers and His deliverance and His redemption. So we ought to ponder the loving deeds of the Lord and tell others. Tell how God delivered you when you were afflicted, or even to the point of being homeless. Now, recently I just recently heard this story of a man by the name of Elmer. He was a homeless man. And on the street he happened to come across a check for $10,000. And so he tells the story here. He found this check for $10,000, and he went, tried to find out who it belonged to. So he turned it into the police, and so they could try to find who this belonged to. And it was made out to a realtor company. I don't know. Maybe he was tempted to claim that he worked for this company. Maybe he was tempted to claim this was his and, try to go to the bank and check, get that check cashed. Maybe he was tempted to do that, but he didn't. He did the right thing. And so they found out who this check had been made out to. It was a woman by the name, tells us here, Roberta. Now, Roberta was so happy to receive this because it was a check that was made out to her. She's a realtor. She had sold this property. And she was so happy to receive this that she gave Elmer here a job. And it was no ordinary job. She, as a realtor, she's a very successful realtor. But she wanted to build a housing for the homeless and a place where they could get help. And she asked for his help to do this project. To me, the most interesting thing about this, as I heard this story, Roberta told that at one time, she had been homeless. At one time, she had been without a home. And someone had helped her. And she had become a very successful realtor and built many facilities and businesses and so forth. And now she realized that this was an opportunity that God had given to her and to help him, but also to help others. Thankful for what God had done, telling of her situation to this homeless man and hiring him to help others. God shows His love and mercy to the disobedient who repent, call on His name. But our Father would rather share that love with the obedient children who would enjoy it. not only to the disobedient, but also to the obedient. And so there's some lessons here that we can learn. First of all, that we ought to give God thanks and praise. Not just one day a year, Thanksgiving, but praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. Luke 1:68. Give thanks to God and praise. And David said this in the Psalm, 7 times a day will I praise you. Now, if you're going to keep count, throughout your day, how many times you praise God, you may not stop after 7. You might continue after 7. But the idea is this, that we ought to stop and give thanks and praise throughout our day. And not only are we to give thanks and praise to God, but then we're to tell others of being redeemed. Tell your story. As Peter said here, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. Tell your testimony, your salvation testimony. It includes at least 3 things. Who you were before Christ. You were lost. You were imprisoned. I was lost. I was imprisoned. Tell what you were before Christ. And then tell what happened when you understood the truth about Christ. How He set you free. Forgave you of your sin. Forgave me of my sin and set me free. And then tell what is ahead for you now that you know Christ. That I'm a child of God. That there's the celestial city that is ahead. And so we ought to tell our story. Peter told his story. How Jesus called him as a fisherman. Peter told his story. Peter told the story how on the mountain that he and John and Peter, John, and Andrew saw the Lord transfigured, saw Him in His glory. He told that story. But Peter also told of his story of denying the Lord. But he told of how the Lord came and 3 times asked him, "Do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Tell your story. Tell what God has done in your life. Now, your testimony is always a powerful tool to be a witness. You say, "Well, I don't know a lot about the Bible. I don't know a lot of verses in the Bible." Well, start off with just telling your story, how God saved you. Tell what God has done in your life, in my life. Start there. And then 3, sing a new song. And Psalm 40, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. And in Revelation, they sang a new song. Now, we don't wait till we get to the celestial cities before we sing this new song. They did that in heaven. They sang a new song. But Psalms reminds us that even now, we sing a new song of joy and thanks. We sing a new song of what God has done in our lives. And, that Pilgrim's Progress, "Be Thou My Vision." He sang that song, "Be Thou My Vision." Sing a new song. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was delivered on Salvation Hill. As he went toward that hill, he saw the cross and his heavy burden of sin fell off his back. Did you happen to notice where that heavy burden ended up? Anybody remember that? Where did that heavy burden end? As it fell off his back and rolled down the hill and went into where? The tomb. Yeah. The resurrection. Jesus Christ, he believed in Jesus Christ and he died for our sins and he rose again the 3rd day. That heavy burden of sin rolled down that hill and into the tomb. It was taken away. And so with that, as he Christian was free, he cried out, "I'm free. I'm free." And God gave, right there we saw in the story how he was given new clothes, a new nature, a new song, a new heart. And so have we been given. Psalms reminds us of this. "I will ever praise you." Psalm 71, verse 6. "His praise will always be on my lips." Psalm 34, 1. "I will praise your name forever and ever." Psalm 145. So we don't start praising God when we're in heaven. We learn to praise Him now while we're on earth. While we're going through the struggles in this journey, we learn to give Him praise and thanks. It's interesting, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "The measure of our spirituality is the amount of praise and thanksgiving in our prayers." Our prayers are not measured by what all the things we ask for, but our prayers are measured by the things we give thanks and praise for. This song, hymn, but we're going to sing here, I want you to consider the words of this hymn. "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love." You know, we can sing of that story in heaven, but we can only tell that story here on earth. When you get to heaven, it's too late to tell the story, but we can sing the story. But now we can sing and tell the story. Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, as we consider this psalm, that we would give thanks and praise to You, that You have redeemed us because of Your power, because of Your mercy. Lord, that You have given us new life, a new hope, that we're no longer lost, our sins are forgiven. And Lord, You've given us a new song. I pray today that we would not only give You thanks and not only give You praise, but we would tell the story to others. What a wonderful story this is, that You have redeemed us. And Lord, may we love to tell the story. Lord, open doors of opportunity for us each day to not only give You praise and thanks, but to tell the story, that we would love to tell that story. Lord, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.